Truly, all this is so beautiful, and I'm so thankful for all of you who have made this so beautiful. What you might also find to be beautiful is the translation of the word homily listed in your worship guide. That's from the ancient Greek, from keep it quick, pastor, and I will. I know my role all as well. It was in the 90s, Frank Sinatra was, Blue Eyes, that's right, was playing to a sold out crowd. His technician that served with him his entire life and career tells the story that it was on this one evening in the 90s, one song incredible, two song incredible, third song incredible, as is expected from the one true king. But it was on the fourth song that the orchestra began to play. Isn't it great? I mean, the orchestra is so excited for a short sermon that they stayed up here. Brennan's got a bow ready to come after me if I go too long. The orchestra was playing and he went blank. And he begins to mumble into the microphone, I'm sorry. And the orchestra fizzles out. And the sold out crowd begins to wonder, is this it? Are we seeing the beginning of the end? Did we really buy tickets to see the demise of Frank Sinatra? And like Elvis, and like Jeff Bezos, and like Tom Brady, and that's right, even like Taylor Swift, there will come a day. There will come a day. Remember the words of Jesus just a few weeks ago, when all that is high will be made low, there will come a day. We encounter these phrases in our Hebrew scripture and in our New Testament reading in Isaiah 2, verse 2, in the days to come, and Matthew 23, the eternal rant, maybe the last soapbox that Jesus stands on. Verse 33 and 36 say, in those days, this word day used 3,000 times in our scriptures. And the beauty of these ancient languages is that these words have such wider semantic meaning in all the various contexts in which this word days is used. We find a plethora of meanings. It certainly can mean a 24-hour period. Seven of those, we know that God literally put the whole thing together in seven 24-hour periods, right? No, but sometimes it is a 24-hour period. Other times, the term day refers to sun up to sundown, less than 24 hours. Sometimes in our scriptures, this days is referring to 1,000 years. Or even more, an unspecified amount of time. And sometimes 1,000 years is referred simply to a day. We find this day often in the prophetic literature, in the days to come, in those days. Often these prophetic texts are metaphorical, apocalyptic, laden with poetry and imagery, and quite frankly, to be honest, sometimes it can be difficult to understand. What exactly is the text talking about? What exactly is the text referring to? What is the day? Our Jewish brothers and sisters, their high and holy day of their year is the Yom Kippur day, the Day of Atonement. Alice and I are looking forward to a very particular day. Where is all this going? Where is all this headed? And I just would suggest to you that most often in the prophetic materials, that day referred to is often a time of great difficulty and of great fulfillment. Difficulty and fulfillment. And most often the prophetic and the apocalyptic and the difficult to maybe understand these texts are often not actually referring to some event horizon in the far and distant future. No, most often the prophetic material in those days, in that day, is most often referring to an event present or even in the recent past. Here in Matthew, Jesus likely referring to the destruction of the temple. And we receive that on both sides of history. Jesus living before that destruction. The authors of that gospel putting this together after. Simply put, what are you looking forward to in the days to come? Simply put, what are you looking back on in those days? And one of the incredible intrinsic aspects of Emmanuel, one of the fascinating concepts of the incarnation, is that Christ is beyond our scope of time. That as we look forward, Christ is there. As we look backwards, Christ is there. As we look present, Christ is here. This is why we gather. This is what we celebrate here in Advent, that Christ is with us. As you look forward to that fulfillment, as you look back upon that great difficulty, our text reminds us that Christ is surely with you. Christ is with you. And the orchestra had stopped, and the mumbling of "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry" had faded, and a sold-out crowd became silent, until a lone fella in the balcony called out, "Hey, Frankie boy, forget about it. We love you." And the whole crowd begins to chant, "We love you. We love you. We love you." Just like you would chant with such a great sermon, you know, "We love you." And Frank looks at the orchestra, and they hit the next number, and he plays for hours. And this technician who tells the story, who had traveled with him his entire professional career, said, "Never had Frank been better than that one night." And the crowd begins, as they often do, even when the band's not that good, but the crowd begins to cheer for an encore, a standing ovation they're giving him, wanting more and wanting more. And Frank did what he had never done in his entire career. He walked out and stood on the edge of the stage, and with his hands, he quieted the crowd. He asked them to sit, and instead of an encore, he looked up to the balcony, to that lone fella, and he said, "Thank you. I love you too." And he scanned the crowd, and he said, "I love all of yous." Teacher, rabbi, pastor tells a story that early in his career, serving the church, had given an incredible Advent sermon, much like the one that you're not receiving here today. It gave this incredible word of encouragement about hope and about all the possibility and all the life and all the healing and all the fulfillment on the other side of that great difficulty, to really encourage the people that when we join our hearts together, when we're following Christ, there is indeed such tremendous hope available. He tells the story of giving this sermon to the church. And most often, like often happens, someone comes up after at the end of the service wanting to talk more about what the pastor said. They often know more than what actually the pastor actually said, because they're smarter than the pastor. We're all aware of that reality. And this pastor tells the story of, on this one occasion, a woman came forward, a little bit older than the usual person who comes to debate the pastor after the worship service. And she comes up to him and she says, "Thank you so much for this word of encouragement. Thank you so much for reminding us of the hope that is available ahead to us. She said, I turned 97 years old last week, and I feel like I'm just getting started. I turned 97 years old last week, and I feel like I'm just getting started. Some weeks after this concert, Frank Sinatra was being interviewed, and he said, the whole thing was a wild ride, baby. All of it was so much joy and so much money and so much fun. And we know that the silky smooth semantics of Frank Sinatra is not without its significant stain on his suit. We're not necessarily speaking of a saint in any way different than we would speak of saints when we talk about one another. He said, the whole thing was incredible. It was so much better than what I deserve, but I couldn't believe how good those final years were. It was like each concert, each breath, each song, each time I sang it, I began to believe that the best was actually yet to come. The best is yet to come, my friends. And it is for this that we have such great hope. Let's pray together. There is such great difficulty in this life. We believe that you, the Christ, have entered into the difficulty of our world and of our lives, and that you give us hope. We don't have all the answers, but we do have a Savior who works towards the best to come for our world, our communities, our families, our bodies, our souls, our spirits, our finances, our Christmas. In you, O God, the best is yet to come always. And it is in your faithful name that we pray. Amen.